Now, everybody else, if you grab your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. And one additional announcement. As you know, we're in the midst of a shift here at Asbury Church as we bring a full-time pastor at each campus. And we're using our midweek service as a way to begin to develop teams. We recognize that God has a purpose for us. I believe that God wants to use us to reach into the communities more and more and more to bless families, and so we're excited about it. We are using our midweeks to help train and develop teams, to help people understand some of the reasons behind what we're doing. And so we want to invite you to come on out Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. here, and then we have Thursday at 6:30 that we'll also be doing it in Dryden. So we'd love for you to be a part of that. Well, hey, as has already been noticed, this cold weather has been just delightful, and we were out skiing a week or so ago when it first started to get really cold. And anybody have those discouraging moments? You look at the weather app and you're like, "Come on, when is it going to warm up?" And it just keeps getting pushed off and off and off. Well, when it started, we went skiing and it was a freezing cold day. And so we put on not only just, we put on the long underwear, all the thermal stuff, snow pants, coats, hats. We just bundled up to go out skiing. And so we were out, Matt and I were going up the chairlift, and I watched this kid come down the hill. And it was freezing. It probably was about 5 degrees out or whatever. And we watched a kid come down the hill, his coat unzipped, flapping in the wind. He had no hat on. Just tearing down, and I am like, "Where are your parents?" Right? What are you doing? Put a hat, zip that coat up. You're not ready for being out there. And how many know that as young people, you can be a little young and dumb, and you think, "Man, I can manage this stuff." I remember when I was in high school, and I had this brilliant idea that one evening I'd go out and I'd play hockey outside. And I wanted the feeling of wind in my hair. And it was about 20 or so below Celsius, and we're out playing hockey for an hour. And I was like going, "You know what? I am just going to put my hat in my pocket, and I am just going to skate around, and we are going to play hockey." And it was just the greatest moment. And I played and played and played, and about an hour or so later, I went back home. And as I went into the house, all of a sudden, my ears began to tingle. And then my ears began to burn. And then my ears began to swell. And I ended up getting frostbite on my ears. How many know frostbite is not fun? And that smartened me so up so much. I'm like, "Dude, if I go out now, I go out with a hat." Well, part of it is I don't have hair to, I got no insulation up top. I got to do something. But it kind of makes me think about this whole idea. Are you ready for the environment that you're stepping into? Like, are you ready? Are you dressed? Or are you ready for, for the elements that surround us? And to me this morning, I want to begin a series. Like, as we get ready to make a shift, I think that there's a really important idea that needs to ground our hearts. And that is to make sure that we're ready for what's out there, ready for what's ahead. Jesus actually, before his disciples were released into their next phase of ministry, he told them this in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He says, "I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Like, before you step out into that which God has for you, it is so important to make sure that you're properly clothed, that you're properly ready for the environment that you're about to step into. And I'm convinced that if we are going to do well that which God is calling us to do, then we actually need to be dressed well. And this is what it'll say in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And I think it is so important that anything that we attempt to do as God's people, anything that we attempt to do as the church of God, is that we make sure that we are clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many times in our lives, we look at the environments that we step into, and sometimes we think, "You know what, I can manage this. I've got my own ideas, I've got my strength. I've been through stuff like this before, And sometimes we can begin to rely upon our own selves. But the recognition that if we're really going to step into and serve God's purpose, we are going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so just over the next few weeks, we're just going to talk about being people of the Spirit. Because there's something that God wants to do in us and he wants to do through us. And that which he's going to do in us and through us is going to be through the Holy Spirit. And so we'll talk about what does it mean to be the people of the Spirit and what does it look like. And as we do, I just want to begin with the big idea, which is simply this, that Jesus' followers are to be defined by the life of the Spirit. So let me ask you, what defines your identity? Like if you had to describe yourself, if you had to define who you are as a being, who are you? Like, what are the things that are important to you? Now some of us will go to some of the roles that we have. How many of you here are grateful that you get to be a spouse? Like, I'm a husband, and I am still surprised. Like, I remember when I introduced Rachel to Mom and Dad for the first time. Dad went up to Rachel first off and said, "We want to thank you for loving our son." We thought nobody would. And, you know... But we have roles, like, you know, sometimes we define ourselves by the roles we have, like whether it's husband or wife. As parents, how many are grateful to be parents and proud parents most days, right? Like that's us, right? Most days, proud parents. And we have titles like that. Sometimes we develop our identity around our career path, the things that we do. We can be a teacher. We can be a mechanic. We can be, you know, whatever it is. And we develop our identity around what we do. Sometimes it can be the season of life we're in the midst of. Like, we won't ask who here is middle age, how many feel like they're getting older, you know, and over the hill. But we define our lives by so many different things. Sometimes by our nationality. Sometimes by our ethnicity. And so we have this thing about, well, who am I? What defines me? And we have so many different characteristics. But as followers of Christ, what is it that is to be defining our lives? And I'm convinced that one of the things that needs to define our lives is that our lives are actually lived as people who are full of the Holy Spirit, who live not only full, but live a life that is empowered and moved by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to look at Acts, and over the next number of weeks, we're going to look at a variety of different accounts in Acts, because it kind of helps paint the picture of what it means to be children of God. What does it mean to live on mission? What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? And so I want to begin reading this morning in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and then I'm going to jump over in just a moment to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. But Luke is writing his gospel, and he is sharing the story of the good news of Jesus. He's explaining who he was and what he did. He talks about his life, his death, and his resurrection. We see this in the gospel of Luke. But he also goes on to explain the impact that that life has as he also writes the book of Acts. And he begins to write all that the work that Jesus did, this ministry that he began, what it is that was set in motion and was continued through the ministry of his followers. And so as we come to our passage, this is the timing as takes place. Is it's after his resurrection, it's before his ascension, and he's talking with his disciples in the 40-day period where he's kind of encouraging them about the kingdom of God and, again, reminding of them of what's important. And it says this in verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I just want to note real quickly right at the beginning of this that the gift of the Holy Spirit is really for our good. I want you to know that the Father in heaven loves us and he wants to bestow good gifts upon us. If you read Luke chapter 11, it talks about ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock, the door will be open. And then he goes on to say, hey, he'll talk about if your son is hungry and asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? And he goes through all these different things. And the answer in each of them is, hey, as fathers, we want to give our kids good things. And Jesus just simply says, hey, in comparison with God, God being good and perfect, and how many know that even as dads and moms, we're nowhere near perfect. And Jesus is like, hey, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And part of the heart of the Father is to give good gifts to you and me. And part of the good gifts that he has for us is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told his followers, hey, before you embark on mission, before you go to live the purpose you were created for, make sure you wait for the gift my Father promised. You see, the truth is the Father knows what we need for the days that we are in. God knows the days that we are in, and he knows what we need. How many recognize we live in some interesting times? Like, how many get a little disturbed, a little bent, a little... like your heart just breaks just watching the events that unfold in our days. Like, I don't know about you, but if you just think about the stuff that we've witnessed even since 2000, you're like, oh my goodness, all the changes, the turmoil, the ups, the downs, and we can go through a list of a whole bunch of them. And we walk through and we go like, what crazy times we're a part of. And how many have this wonderful hope that, you know what, as much as we hope, there's still going to be crazy times in front of us. And we look at the times that we're in and we go, oh my goodness, what are we supposed to do? And sometimes we don't know how to manage the days we're in. Sometimes, you know, as parents, we're like going, oh my goodness, how are we supposed to help our kids with the stuff that they're dealing with that we never had to deal with? We wonder, how is it that we're supposed to, you know, like maintain economy and like doing our jobs, and there's all this upheaval even in the job market. We look at things, we're like going, what are we supposed to do? And the thing that we need to understand is God knows what it is that we need for the days that we're in. And even though we may not know what all our tomorrows is, God says, listen, I have a good gift for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit to empower you and help you to live the purpose that you were created for. You see, God longs to give us, to empower us with the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not just a presence, but the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. You know, we believe that there is one God who has manifested himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit comes to us as we put our faith in Christ Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that longs to work in and through our lives, both to act and to transform. Jesus talked about the role of the Holy Spirit, and we don't have time to go through all of it, but you could read John chapter 14 all the way through John chapter 16. And one of the ways he'll refer to the Holy Spirit as a helper, and the word that's used there for helper is a great word because it means one who comes alongside. So that no matter what we're going through in the midst of our tumultuous days, we have a God who comes alongside us to help us. You see, God knows what we need for the days we're a part of. And he promised that in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And I love that, all people. That God longs to meet each one of us, to help each one of us, and to give us a gift that will allow us and enable us to live into the purpose and the days that we're a part of. The second thing I want to note this morning is as we think about this whole idea of the Holy Spirit, being people of the Spirit, is to recognize that the Holy Spirit's working in us is to define us as followers of Christ. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, but I'm really just going to focus on the first part of the verse, of verse 1. But I just kind of want to give you the setup for it. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want you to note how this passage begins. When the day of Pentecost came. Now, this is actually an important date. This is an important idea that Luke is kind of helping his readers understand. What's going on here is so important for all that's going to unfold. Now, Pentecost, or what is called Pentecost in this week, is actually the renaming of a pilgrimage festival that we read about in the Old Testament, in the Torah, that was known as the Feast of Weeks. It was the celebration of the harvest, that God is a God who gives good things to his people, that he's the God who provides the sun and the warmth in order to grow things. And again, I'm waiting for the sun and the warmth again, but I know they're coming. But God, the God who gives good things. And God's commanded his people that, you know what, it is important for us to cultivate this heart of gratitude and celebration because we have a God who gives. And so he says, what I want my people to do is to travel to Jerusalem and to celebrate provision, God's provision. And so people would travel all over to come into Jerusalem and celebrate God's abundance. Well, as this festival developed through time, not only did they celebrate the provision of grain and the provision of all the stuff that God provided for food and flourishing, they began to celebrate the fact that, you know what? This is a celebration where we remember that God gave his law to the people. And it's a reminder, and it became a celebration of the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai and the law itself. And what's really interesting is, what is the purpose of the law in the Old Testament? It wasn't to save people, because God had saved them by bringing them out of Egypt even before the law was written down. The purpose of the law was to help define a people, to define them, to help them understand what does it mean to be the people of God. And if you've ever read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'll find out that the law touches every single part of a people's life, not just collectively as a whole, but also individually. Not just the public stuff, but the private stuff. And what the Jewish people were to do is they were to live their lives identified by the law. Well, what's interesting is the day of Pentecost, we know with Jesus there's a new covenant that's established even as we do communion. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is a new relationship that God has made through Christ Jesus. And so as we have been saved by Jesus, he says, okay, so now I want you to understand how your life is to be defined. And our lives are to be defined by God's gracious provision of the Holy Spirit at work in and through the lives of his people. And really, it's the Spirit's working in us and through us that are to define us as the people of God. Like, more than just our good looks. How many know we're good looking? How many know God makes good looking people? And he made us good looking. More than just our even our own talents and skills, it's really about a life that reflects the new life that God has done. And so as we think about, how does the Holy Spirit begin to define people? And I want to note three ways real quickly. The first is this, is that the Holy Spirit makes people alive. If you remember that when God formed Adam in the garden, when he made humanity, he began by shaping Adam out of the dust of the earth. And then what did he do to him? He breathed on him. And when he breathed on him, he became a living being. Now, what's interesting about this idea of there's a connotation with this idea of breath, wind, and spirit that are kind of tied together in this whole understanding. And it happens both in the Hebrew as well as in the Greek. But there's this aspect that as God formed them, he breathed his life into them. He breathed his spirit into them, and they became a living being. What happened when sin entered the world, God said that if you eat of this tree, you will surely die, and they did. And so what ended up happening is something changed in their being. And that is, the breath died. Even before the being died, the breath of God, in a sense, died within them. And so when Jesus comes, and so the reason Jesus came was to restore life to us, and the way he does it is through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us alive. And so as we come to faith in Christ Jesus, there is a rebirth that happens where the Spirit of God takes up residence within us and makes us alive. And so we need to understand the reason that we can manifest the goodness of God is because His Spirit is alive within us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit not only makes alive, but the Holy Spirit also makes people holy. Now, growing up, we grew up in church, and so we often connected holiness with a list of do's and don'ts. I don't know what your background is, but for my background, holiness was a list of do's and don'ts. So it was like going, if you're a holy person, you don't dance. If you're a holy person, you don't, you don't play cards. That's right. You don't play face cards. You could play rook, but you couldn't play face cards, right? If you were a holy person and you were a woman, you couldn't wear makeup. You couldn't have your ears pierced. If you were holy and you were a woman, you wouldn't wear pants. Okay? If you were holy, you didn't have long hair. Okay, that was a list. If you were holy, you didn't go to movies. Okay, this is how I grew up. Right? This was the list. And it's just because we wanted to be a people separate from the world. I went to Sunday school, and it seemed as though what they taught was this. Is that if Jesus came again and you were in the movie theater, you were in a no rapture zone. And so like you would, like if he came back and you were in a theater, that's it. You get to deal with all the tribulation because you were at the wrong place at the wrong time, right? And so it's kind of funny. And what was terrible about it, so you got to understand, I was a messed up child. I hope my parents aren't watching. But did you know that even though this was the rule for our house, I snuck out to go to movies when I was a kid? I know, terrible. I conspired. This was so bad. The first movie I went to, I conspired with somebody who went to Sunday school with me and his family. I won't say who, just in case mom and dad are watching. And I got to tell you, I was in that movie the entire time thinking, if Jesus comes back, I'm going to get left behind. And I was like, and for this stupid movie. It wasn't even a good one. The first movie I went to was La Bamba. What? And I was like going, I just gave up my entire eternity for this dumb movie. But I'm just grateful Jesus didn't come back then. So, you know. But so often what we do is we actually identify holiness as a list of do's and don'ts. But I want you to know that the idea of holy isn't about do's and don'ts. It's actually recognizing that as beings, that the Holy Spirit makes us holy. The idea of holiness is to be set apart from something and set apart for something. Like the idea of saying, hey, you know what? That when we come to faith in Christ, that our lives, that there's something different about our lives that separates us from a life of sin and of worldliness. And so it's not our desire to be like the things of this world, but we want to reflect Christ's love and His grace and His goodness because of what He's done for us. Set apart from, but set apart for a holy purpose. And this is what I believe about every one of us here. That as you've come to faith in Christ Jesus, He has set you apart from sin, and He has set you apart for a holy purpose. And part of what we are called to do is to step and to lean and to walk into that holy purpose. And the way we do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That it's the Holy Spirit that helps us live holy. And so the Holy Spirit not only makes us alive, but also makes us holy. And as a consequence, it's the Holy Spirit that takes our lives and makes them impacting. That there's something that God can do through our lives because His Spirit is in us so that we can make a difference in this world. As it says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. And part of this idea is giving us the ability to do something that makes a difference. That it's the Holy Spirit that begins to release a potential into us that is far greater than we even imagine. A potential that impacts communities, countries, and worlds, the world for the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom. And this is why I think that even as we step into the next season that God has for us as a church, as we make some shifts, what we really need is we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to define our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. And for this to happen, I think there's some things that we need to be aware of. Number one, I think we just need to be a people that say, you know what, God, we need to be assembled by your word. So there's this great story you read in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the prophet Ezekiel has this vision where in his vision he's brought to a valley that is filled with bones. And as he looks upon the ground within that valley, all he sees are all these bones. They're white and they're just imagine dry, brittle bones that are just littering the floor of the valley. And God looks at the prophet and just simply says this, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Can this dryness, this death, this place where it looks like there's no hope, can life arise in this place? And the prophet is like, God, only you know. Like I know in my own self, if I look at it, I'm like, yeah, there's no way, but God, you know. And God says, this is what I want you to do. Is I want you to prophesy to the bones. I want you to preach to them. I want you to declare my word over the bones. And I love this because the prophet goes out and he says, you know what, I'm just going to start preaching. And so he just begins to declare the word of the Lord over the bones. And all of a sudden, something begins to happen. All of a sudden, there's some quivering. And these bones that look like there was nothing there, all of a sudden they start rattling and moving. And all of a sudden they start connecting. And all of a sudden there's tendons growing and muscles growing. And all of a sudden as he continues to preach the word, it says that all these beings are brought together and formed. And they stand up. And then God says, now this is what I want you to do. He goes, now I want you to prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the spirit, prophesy to the breath. And so Ezekiel speaks, and as he speaks, a wind blows through the valley, and it fills, rushes over each of the beings, and all of a sudden it says that the army that was there became alive. And I love this vision, I love this picture, because it teaches us two things that I think are so important. The first is this, is that we need the Word of God to assemble us, to put us together. How many know there's something important about the Word of God that helps to get our broken pieces into better shape? And this is why I think that if we're going to be a people that are full of the Holy Spirit, we need God's Word to begin to put back together that which is broken in our lives. That we need the Word of God spoken over us. We need to interact with the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that begins to assemble and to put things as God intended them to be. But not only do we need that, we also need the Spirit to animate. We need the Word of God spoken, and we need the Spirit to animate. It's kind of interesting that if you read the Gospel of John, John 1:1, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And so he talks about Jesus as Jesus comes as the Word. And what does the Word begin to do? As you read through the Gospels, you'll see what Jesus does is he begins to take broken people and broken pieces, and he begins to join all these things together. And then he tells his followers, guys, now what I need you to do is I need you to wait for the gift my Father promised. You need the Spirit of God to blow on you. And so this is why I think that if we're going to experience all that God has for us, we need the Word of God to assemble some pieces in our lives. And we need the Spirit of God to animate, to make alive. So I was reading an article just between the services. And it's about churches. And I don't know if you know this or not, but did you know that churches are getting older? Did you know that churches are actually plateauing and many churches are in a decline trend? And I don't know about you, but I think that ought to be terribly concerning. Because if the church declines and is failing, it actually demonstrates that the people of God aren't really doing what the people of God are called to do. It's as if we've made our word or the word of others more important than the word of God. That we've sought out all sorts of different spirits to animate us rather than the Spirit of God. And I got to tell you, the church is needed now more than ever. As you look at the chaos that reigns, not just in across the country or around the world, but in families, in hearts and lives. And for the church to be raised up and say, God, would you help us be the people that you've called us and created us to be, that we might make the difference in the world that you desire. Because God is not content to let this broken world just be. And we know that because he came. And Jesus says, listen, I have called my people to myself. My word to begin to help put their lives back together and to provide my Spirit to breathe upon them so that they might take my grace and my life to a broken world. You see, if we're going to be people of the Spirit, we need to be assembled by the Word of God and we need to be animated by the Spirit of God. And this requires us to actually to activate our faith. Where we're willing to ask God to fill, to strengthen, to use, to give us courage to act. We need the Spirit of God to help us advance His divine purpose, to be a part of rescue, redemption, and restoration. If you asked me, why would you make a shift as a pastor to do something just that looks like it's going to be harder and less fun? And the reason is simply this. I believe that we need to be the church that's present in communities, filled with the power of the Spirit to help bring light to darkness. That we actually need to be a people who are filled with the Spirit of God, each doing our part. How many know we can't change our, you know, how many know it's going to take more than just one or two individuals to really impact our communities? There may be one or two that can start something, but it's really going to take all of us. And I'm just like, what would it look like? Like, what would it look like if God's people were filled with God's Spirit doing the things that God's called them to be? How can it change our communities? And I believe that there is a good work that God wants to do. And part of it is to have a heart that just leans into this whole idea of, God, would you help me be a person of the Spirit? Lord, would you help me be a person of the Spirit? Lord, would you help me to be not only assembled by your word, but animated by your Spirit so that I can move and walk and serve and step into the purpose that you have for me. Because I still believe that you are the answer to many prayers that are being prayed throughout our communities. Like, you are the answer. That God has said, listen, I am raising you up for such a time as this. And so my prayer is that we would be a people of the Spirit, where our lives are defined by the life of the Spirit. And what we'll do over the next few weeks is we're actually just going to kind of reflect on what does it look like to be the people of the Spirit? Like, what does it look like to live in the power of the Spirit? What does it look like to walk with the Spirit? What does it look like to be a carrier of God's presence into a broken world? I want you to know that God has something for you. You see, He's given us His Spirit to make us alive, to make us holy, and to allow us to impact our world. And my prayer is this, is that for the times that we're in, we wouldn't be like the young and dumb that just go into environments not properly clothed. But a people that are clothed with the Holy Spirit. Because God knows what we need for the days we're a part of. And His Spirit wants to help us be light. So Lord, may our lives be defined by Your Spirit's working in our lives. Lord, I thank You that You are good, that You're the God who has made us alive, that, Lord, Your Spirit abides in us. And Lord, I pray that You would help us be people of the Spirit. Lord, I thank You that You care so deeply about us. And God, I know that in this world there are so many things that we get focused on. Lord, I know there are many things that we allow our lives to be defined by. Lord, we ask that You would help us be people of the Spirit. Lord, I thank You that You have made us to be carriers of Your presence. Lord, I thank You that You are working stuff in our hearts and in our lives, and that, God, You desire to do something through us. And so, God, we rest in You. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, as a church, as individuals, allow our lives to be defined by Your Spirit at work in and through us. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just simply say, you know what, I want my life to be defined by His presence, by His Spirit. That my prayer is that God would do in me what He needs to do so that He can do through me what He desires to do. That's you this morning. Would you just raise your hand? Those ones. Yeah, those ones. Thank you. Lord Jesus, the work of Your Spirit in us requires us to surrender to You, to yield ourselves to Your working. And so, God, here we are. Help us live for Your purpose. In Jesus' name.